Hey, well, we just had a wonderful sharing. Not everyone's got to share yet, but as time is moving on, I wanted Kim to get the teaching in. That's the most important thing we come here for, is the word as well as the fellowship. So, Kim, take it ahead, sweetheart.
Well, bless you all, and it was wonderful to hear all the testimonies and the wonderful things that God's doing. As you know, I returned to work this week, and what an awesome week it has been. I turned up on Monday morning, bright and early. I was so blessed. Obviously, I get a great opportunity to share God's word with different people, and the opportunity always to speak the positives. I really go out there as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone that I come in contact with, I really do my 100% to be happy and positive. And it was such a blessing. I walked into work and they all cheered and handed me a beautiful bouquet of flowers and said how much they'd miss me. And then obviously each day I deliver to different people, but I do it once a week. So they have their little boxes of medication. They're not all elderly people. Some of them are quite young, but they're just not able to get to the chemist to pick up their drugs. And nearly 95% of the ones that I went to was so pleased to see me back. They said that the one lady that had stood in for me while I was away, they basically called her a witch. She was very, what's the word? She was very negative, very sharp with her words, and it was just like a ray of sunshine to see me at their doors. And I really thank God for that, because, you know, oh, it's okay. It was just the dog trying to get through the gate. Yes, everything's fine. The dog just thought she was going to be smart and jump the gate, but she didn't make it. She's okay. But it's a real blessing that we do represent Christ, that when we're in contact with people, when we're in contact with one another, that our words are for edification and to build one another up, to encourage one another. And also these people, some of them don't see one person from one week to the next. So I may be the only sort of person that they see that week. And it was just really comforting to know that I sort of bring a smile to some people's faces when they see me. And I just really got inspired to share on tonight on why it's important to understand sowing and reaping. And this isn't all about money, guys, because it really is what we sow, we reap in our lives. So if we sow good things, we're going to get good things back to us. So, and I absolutely love and enjoy, you know, really refreshing myself on this subject of sowing and reaping, for it only brings to life the truths of God's word and its application. It's no good us just reading the word, but we have to apply it also. It highlights how God wants his people to understand how important it is that what we are saying and how we are acting and living will produce results in our lives. God wants his people to have the best in life, and everything for the best life for his people has already been provided. See, God provides everything that we need. God wants us to receive his word into our hearts, and we keep it there so it goes to work when we act. God wants us to have his wisdom so we can apply our hearts with his understanding, and also we can reap the blessings and the benefits of his wisdom. The truth of God's word is not only pleasant to our soul, but it preserves those who walk and live in the truth through the application of it. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2, and in verse 1 it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," we're going to read on, "so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear or the respect of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, and he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and iniquity, yea, every good path. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, while understanding shall keep thee. Notice in Proverbs 2:1 it says, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. The first thing we need to do is to receive his word with a meek and humble heart. And the second thing we need to do is to hide or keep his commandments or his word within us. Just like the ground, when it is ploughed and ready, will receive seed into it, which will cause that seed to grow and to produce its fruit. God has, through his word, imparted to those with ears to hear his wisdom, so we can apply our hearts unto his understanding. When we seek God, wisdom and understanding above all things, God causes us to understand, which preserves us and gives us direction so we can be fruitful. All through the scriptures, God uses examples of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping works for believers and unbelievers. Whatever you sow by your actions or by your words will always reap a harvest for you, either negative or positive. We sow according to our choices in life, and we reap the results of what we have decided to sow, like Nancy was sharing just now about people with the weather. You know, if they believe that the storm's coming, well, the storm's coming. And it just takes one person to take a stand and say, hey, that storm's not coming. I've commanded in the name of Jesus Christ, that storm's depicted, it's gone, it's not coming anywhere near us. And that's what we have to believe. We have to take a stand. You know, we don't have to put up with what the papers say, what the news says. You know, we speak it into being. So we sow according to our choices in life, and we reap the results of what we have decided to sow. Every day we are sowing something in our lives, whether you recognize it or not, whether you choose to believe it or not. What you sow will always come back to you, and in abundance. If you sow discord, violence, a bad attitude, it will somewhere find its way back to you. Like I was saying about that woman, she had a bad attitude to some of the patients, and she was very sharp, and they didn't like her. And it came back because she was sort of taken into the office and told to be a little more gentle with people and to speak, you know, not so much in a rush, but to be a comfort. You know, these people need to hear the positives, not to be thrown their pills and sign there and gone. You know, that's not the way we react. And plus, I'm not only representing the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm a representative of the pharmacy that I work for. So if you sow discord, violence, and bad attitude, it will somehow find its way back to you. If you sow goodness, love, and good attitudes, that will also find its way back to you. Like they told me today, oh, we were so pleased to see you back. Oh, it's so lovely to see you. See, and everybody loves that bit of praise. You know, God's praising us every day, but, you know, it gives encouragement. When somebody praises you, it gives encouragement, and it makes you feel good. And if you feel good, then you're going to react in a good way. See, this is all down to sowing and reaping. What you are harvesting in your life right now is a result of the things you've sown in your life. If you have made good choices, and you've lived and walked in them, then you can see why things are going well for you. It is from the choices you've made and the actions you have taken, based upon what you believe is right or wrong. It is impossible for a farmer to reap tomatoes if the seeds he has sown were for cucumbers. Yeah. The principle of sowing and reaping works every time. With no respect to people, it works for saint and sinner alike, and the type of seed you're sowing will produce more of the same. So if you are not happy with what you are receiving right now, the good news is we can start to change what we're sowing, and in time we'll begin to receive the right type of harvest in our lives. When we understand this wonderful wisdom on the spiritual side of our lives, then we can begin to change the things in our lives by applying these great truths. If you decide to look these scriptures up, you will see that sowing and reaping is everywhere in the scriptures. Lots of people do not realize their words are seeds. Bless me, yes. You may know it, beware of it, but don't mean to speak the negatives of this world. When we apply our hearts to understanding this principle that God has highlighted all throughout his word, then you will see how important it is to your life and your family's life and all those that you share God's word with. It is simple, and it's most important things that can be so easily missed. This wonderful truth and principle, God again is bringing to yours and mine attention. Just like faith and confession, these truths of sowing and reaping and faith and confession go hand in hand and work with a scientific precision. Here are a few things to remember about sowing and reaping. First, sowing always comes before reaping. Two, sowing requires patience. Three, the type of seed sown determines the type of harvest you'll reap. Four, you will always reap more than you sow. And five, sow with the expectation and faith. When we say what God is saying, we're sowing the seed of God's word. We can see from the following scriptures that God's word is alive and it is active. Let's take a look. Hebrews 4:12, and I want to read the New Living Translation here. So, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Wow. God's word is incorruptible seed, and there is life in the word of God. You know, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right through between the soul and the spirit, between the joints and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. John 6:63 says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words that Jesus Christ spoke were spirit and life. He always spoke what the Father wanted him to speak. Let's take a look at Psalms 147:15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, and his word runneth very swiftly. God sends forth his commandments upon the earth, and his word runs very swiftly. God's word goes to work fast. How does God send forth his word? He speaks it. He declares it. He also declares his word through his believing people. See, we're speaking it. I'm speaking it right now. This is how we also put God's word to work in our lives, by saying it out of our mouths, rather than saying what the world says. And it's so easy to get entangled with the world and what the papers are saying and the news and what the weather forecast is. But you have to put a stop to that right now. No matter what you read, and I try not to get entangled with the news and the newspapers, because I don't want that to influence what I'm believing for that day. So if we don't entangle ourselves with it, then it's not going to intrude into our minds. We're not going to take it down to our hearts, and then we're not going to speak it out of our mouths. We don't need to worry about what the weather's doing. We don't need to worry about what people are doing. We don't need to worry about what's on the news. What we do need to be concerned about is, what are you doing today? What are you speaking today? That's what we're to be concerned about. This is how we also put God's word to work in our lives, by saying it out of our mouth and believing what you're saying. The word of God is seed, and there is life in the word, and once we've spoken it, it will produce a great harvest in our lives. And then we sow it. We sow the seed of the word by releasing it through our mouths, and God's word, once spoken with faith, and no doubt goes to work very swiftly. Words of fear, failure, sickness, and lack are also a seed that, when spoken, will go to work against you, and it will produce that harvest when it's spoken. So you're speaking that you're a failure, then you'll be a failure. You're speaking that you've got sickness, then you'll have sickness. You're speaking that you've got lack, then you'll have lack. You're speaking that your job's no good, then your job's no good. You know, we have to be real thankful that we even have a job in this day and time. There are people out there that don't have jobs. And do you know what? This country, I don't know what it's like anywhere else in the world, but this country has seen more people living on the streets right now than ever. The devil has brought in this, and I'm putting it in inverted commas, a devilish social security. Yeah. That right now, it's leaving people with barely not enough to live. But they're in a catch-22. They barely have enough to live. They can't pay their rent, so they end up on the streets. And you can't get a job if you don't have a place to live. So these guys are being in a catch-22 situation. So I am thankful to God every morning that I have a roof over my head, that I have a job to go to. Whether I like the job or not is irrelevant. God's placed me where he wants me right now, and that is where I go to work, and I make the most of it. From the time I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed, I thank God that I took a breath this morning. Amen. And I was able to take one step out the door and speak the words of my Most High God and his Son Christ Jesus that dwells within me. Amen. As sons of the Most High God, as born again of God's Spirit, that's something to be thankful for. We need to put God's word to work in our lives by saying it, by declaring it out of our mouths, guys, and applying it through our actions. We need to act and say in accordance to what God is saying, written or by what God is putting in our hearts to speak. You know, knowledge without without application will not produce fruit. It really won't. And we can have all the head knowledge that you can read your Bible inside and out. You can know every verse of scripture. But if you do not live it and you do not work it, you know, bring it into fruition, it means nothing. You know, knowledge is all, can be all puffed up. Even if you only know one verse of scripture and you're humble and you're meek, that means more to God than someone that can quote the whole Bible and isn't meek and isn't humble. But you know, once that knowledge is applied with understanding, oh wow, it's going to produce great results every time you apply it. You know, a farmer has knowledge about growing crops. He knows exactly the right time to be planting and sowing and harvesting. But do you know what? If he does not plow his field, he doesn't sow it, he doesn't water it, he doesn't fertilize it, then the ground will have no crops. A farmer performs the following steps, and he has a way in which he needs to do it. One, crop selection. Makes a decision on what he's going to put in the field. Two, land preparation. He prepares his soil. Three, seed selection. He's going to decide what seeds are going where and when he's going to do it. Four, the sowing time. Five, the irrigation needs to be watered. Six, he's going to maintain it so that he gets a crop growth, so these crops start growing. Seven, when they start growing, then he knows to fertilize it. And eight, when it's grown to its full potential, then he harvests it. So there was 8 points there, and I'm not a farmer. There could be 10. But these are the ones I've selected. But 8 points. Is your life as detailed as that when you go to work? Do you have a vision? Do you have a goal? Do you write things down? Do you sort of plan your day out and right, I'm going to do this, 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 and this? we got to start getting detailed. And we really, you know, when you get detailed and you give it to God and you go to work on it, God will bring that harvest back to you a hundredfold. You know, the farmer puts a lot of effort into growing his crop. Do you put a lot of effort into living your day?
Amen.
One, the ground has to be prepared and good fertilizer used to put in the soil. Are you fertilizing your heart? Are you putting good stuff in and feeding your heart good stuff? You know, the way that the farmer tends to his fields is no different than the way that we tend to God's word.
Amen.
We got to get so detailed that we really do sow and then we reap. We don't want to just speak things for the sake of speaking it. We want to speak good things so that we get a good harvest, that we get a good return. I want you to turn to Matthew, and I'm going to read you the parable of the sower. You know, it's so important to understand and having the humility and the humbleness of heart when God shows us something to really want to take it on board, because it's usually evident and it's really important in our lives right now. So Matthew 13:18 says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Verse 20, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word." "Bless me, and receive it, and joy receiveth it." Matthew 13:21, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, of the word, by and by he is offended." Matthew 13:22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of the riches, it chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Matthew 13:23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The soil will determine the health and strength of the plant. The better the soil, the healthier and stronger the plant. The soil should not be too sandy or too hard, and it must supply the right nutrients for the plant to grow strong. When our hearts are humble and meek and desiring to learn, so we can do, then the word of God sown in our hearts will produce the great harvest in our minds, and then it will impact the world we're in when we release it out of our mouths. Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." God refers to seed as human seed, animal seed, plant and herbs as seeds. Our words are seeds. His spirit is seed. And all these types of seed work on the simple principle and produce after its own kind. To produce more of the same type of seed you want to harvest, you have to sow the seed, you have to water it, and the seed to receive its increase. Genesis 1:11 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass." I remember last summer that we prepared one side of the garden that we were going to turf. We prepared the ground and we decided, do we buy turf or do we buy seed? And I thought seed would be a lot cheaper. So I picked out little stones and I picked out little weeds, and we have sown these grass seeds. And for a couple of days I watered it, and then the next day I was too busy to water it. And then the next day I thought, oh, I'll give it a little bit of water. And I think two or three days later, I forgot to water it because I was so busy. And guess what? The seed didn't take. Because I didn't get detailed. I didn't stay faithful to it. Mm-hmm. It needs nourishment. It needs tending. It really does to have a really nice lawn. Yeah. Lawrence decides he was going to grow tomatoes. And he plants this little plant. It was a tomato plant. He bought the tomato bag. He put a little stick in it. And I think he watered it 3 or 4 days in a row. And then he forgot about it. And then he remembered about it. But do you know what? That tomato plant grew so tall, it went up to the roof of the summer house that it was planted in. And it sort of sprouted across the roof and down the sides. Well, my grass didn't do as good as that. My grass didn't survive. And we ended up having to buy turf. So I know the principle of tending to that seed for it to work.
Amen.
And it's the same as the Word of God that's in our hearts. It needs to be tended. It needs to be watered. It needs to be, you know, really taken care of before you speak it out of your mouth. Because remember, what you sow, you will reap. If you want to change what you are reaping, you need to change what you are sowing. For example, if you're overweight, like I was, I realized I was sowing to my body the wrong kinds of foods. And junk food was my main downfall. I loved my fish and chips. I loved my curry sauce.
Chocolate.
I loved my bread and butter. I loved my chocolates and my crisps.
Best snack, darling.
No. And it made me feel tired. I didn't really get concerned about how I looked because I didn't very often look in the mirror at myself. But I was concerned on how I was feeling. And, you know, when we took to the slimming world with Leanne and I lost 5.5 stone in weight, so did Leanne. Lawrence came behind losing 3 stone. It changed our lives. But we had to make changes in our lifestyle. We had to do our homework. We had to research. And then we got onto the program that helped us. You know, it helped us and it guided us to eat healthy, to stay in contact with our representative, to turn up to the meetings on a Tuesday night and to weigh ourselves and to stay behind. Yeah, it all took detail. And I know Kim Hiley's, he was inspired by what we shared with him. And he's joined Slimming World too, and he's got getting great results as well. But all that intricate detail that it took for us to lose that weight. When you really want to do something, and you really apply yourself to it, you will get involved. You will find out all the nitty-gritty. You'll get right into it and then you reap the rewards. Well, it's the same with God's Word. And if you really delve into God's Word and you take what you need, you research it, you make it your own, you put it down in the depths of your heart and you live it, then you'll see your reward.
Amen.
Because God is so much bigger than what the world promotes, and the world promotes Slimming World right now. But God is bigger than Slimming World. So if you go to God, he's going to meet those needs much, much bigger. And I am telling you the truth here, because if you've seen my photos going back a year ago, I was 5.5 stone heavier than I am now. When we eat right, we get the right results in our bodies. And as you find what is good, you get rid of what is bad. What are you sowing in your life today? How are you living? And what are you reaping? Ask yourselves those questions, guys. Write it down if you have to. You know, if you're not happy, write down why you're not happy or where you think the unhappiness is coming from. Get real detailed. Like the farmer gets detailed when he comes to sowing, you get detailed about your life. Because, see, God is more concerned about your life right now and where you're going in life. And he wants you blessed. And the only way you can be blessed is by taking a checkup from the neck up. I remember when I went into hospital, they done my vital signs. Well, there's vital signs that you can do as a believer too. first and foremost, are you praying? Are you reading God's word? Are you fellowshipping with like-minded believers? Are you witnessing to the greatness of God's word? And are you sharing of your abundance? Those are the five vital signs for a believer. Just as important as the vital signs of the doctor taking your blood pressure or your temperature or... And if you're not doing those things, I really do exhort you to start or to begin. Because see, with God, everything is detailed. And it's all wrapped up in a package. And if you want the best results, then you need to go to God and let him show you and guide you what is the best thing for you. And those vital signs are important. You know, we can take a look at a few more scriptures. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Galatians 5:16 says, "Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." And these are contrary, believe it or not, guys. They're contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And this is where people battle the most. Because they, you know, 90% of life comes down to common sense. 90% common sense. And then there are times when you think, okay, well, I don't fully understand this, so I'm going to ask God. And as soon as you go to God, he shows you. But there are times when you do make decisions, common sense, you know. You don't have to ask God, well, okay, God, I'm about to clean the stairs. Do I start at the bottom or do I start at the top? You know, it's common sense. You start at the top and you work your way down. Some people, they go to God with absolutely everything and they say, well, God told me this and God told me that. But, you know, sometimes it's just the way that we've gone through life that our common sense is telling us this is what you need to be doing. But when you see it written in the word, you know that it's God showing you to do it. And when we read the scriptures, I'm telling you now, this is God's word and he's telling you, you need to hear this, you need to adhere to it, and you need to start applying it from the heart so that you can reap the rewards and the blessings that he's got in store for you. If he says that the flesh warreth against the spirit, then let me tell you, the flesh warreth against the spirit. You know, God writes it because there's a reason for him to write it. You know, he doesn't have to keep reminding us, but when the word's telling us something, it's like that, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Well, it doesn't, so why do it?
Yeah.
It's very simple, and that's common sense tells you not to do it. But there again, you know, we do sometimes fellowship with unbelievers. But what type of fellowship are you having? Are you the one in control of the conversation? Or do you end up backing down and believing what they say to you? Do you know what? In fact, I didn't tell Lawrence this today. When I delivered one of the Dosset boxes, one of the medication boxes to a lady, she said, oh, I went and saw a medium when you were away. And I said, oh, really? Did you? She said, yeah. I said, well, you know, those things, it's not good. She said, well, no, this was a good spirit. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. She said, and she came in the form of my best friend's mother. I said, oh, really? And what, your best friend's mother has passed away, has she? She said, yeah. I said, well, do you know, Tracy, the Bible says that the dead are dead. And she said, what do you mean, the dead are dead? I said, that they can't come back and talk to you. She said, well, but this medium did. She even had the voice of my friend's mother. And I said, well, you know, the world would like you to believe that that was your friend's mother, but actually it was a familiar spirit. And I went on to explain about how the devil is the god of this world and how he can blind the minds and make you believe something that's not actually true. And after I finished having this conversation with her, she was so blessed. And she said, well, my friend was going to, we were going to go on a ghost hunt. She said, but I don't think we'll do that now. And the whole time this girl was speaking, I was very bold. I was very blessed. It didn't trouble my heart at all, because I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And that's the word that lives in me, that I want to know that people, you know, that... Same for me, what I sow, I reap. Now, if I hadn't have took a stand and told her what God says about things like that, she would have carried on believing it. And that would have troubled me further down the road. But the fact that she needed to be told, she brought it up to me. And so I told her what God says about it. And she was so blessed. She didn't know that there was a God of this world. She didn't know that God, our Lord, our God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was on her side, that he was there fighting for her to become a believer, that he was standing in her corner, and that I speak the word. And I said to her, I truly believe within the next couple of weeks somebody else is going to come along and water the words that I've just spoken to you. They're going to speak the word to you too. And it will happen, because I spoke it, that was my faith. So God will find someone to come in contact with her, and talk. It might be me again in a couple of weeks' time, I don't know. But I truly do believe that God will put somebody else in her path, because she needs to stay away from things like that. You know, as it says, we're warring against the senses here, and it's a spiritual battle. So Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, rife, strife, seditions, and heresies. You know, so many of these. Oh, Galatians 5:21, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, and as I have also told you in times past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. See, there's no profit in provoking one another or envying one another. Because if somebody has something that you want, then go to God, because he is ready to give it to you. We don't have to envy one another. You know, God, what God does for one, he'll do for another. He loves each of us equally. You know, we're his sons and his daughters. When we are spiritually minded and we're led by the Spirit of God, we will 1,000% reap and manifest God's blessings in our lives. Romans 8:5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are you minding today? Are you minding after the flesh, or are you minding after the Spirit? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you have peace in your heart right now? Because if you don't, then you're very carnal. Because see, the word of God speaks peace, and it brings peace. You know, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Romans 8:8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There are some examples about applying the word and sowing the word through our actions and walking by the Spirit. We can either walk with the carnal mind or by the spiritual mind. Which one are you walking by today? If we are walking by the Spirit of God, then we will certainly be speaking what God says. We will be walking and talking the walk. We won't be upset at anyone or anything. We will not be offended. We certainly will be looking to help those around us by giving God's encouragement, speaking God's word, either to a believer or to an unbeliever. We will see people as God sees them. We will certainly have love and respect for each other and for those that minister God's word, doing what God is working in their hearts to feed his people. We will be walking in our ministry of reconciliation to the world and the body of Christ. We will be walking in the love of God, manifesting what I just read, the fruit of the Spirit. Leaders and believers, our ministry is unto edification, not destruction. Our ministry is to build up and not to tear down. We should not withdraw ourselves from each other. We should not talk negatively about a sister or a brother in Christ. We will not be arguing over who is right or who is wrong, or who is important and who is not important. These attributes are the works of a carnal mind, and these will produce the works of the flesh. Psalms 119:89 says, "Thy word is settled in heaven." Thy word, in other words, it's established. Psalms 89:34 says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." God is not a schizophrenic. He means what he has said and will do what he has said. He is going to do. God's word is reliable and more sure than the ground we walk on, and will produce a great harvest as we apply it, as we are led by that Spirit that dwells within. Isaiah 55:10, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. As you sow, you shall reap." God has put his word to work, and it works. God has provided everything in this world so that man can live, and animals and plants and herbs and many other things. But we have to do the work first, guys. We have to use what God has made available in this natural world, and it is the same in the spiritual world. Someone has to ready the ground for sowing and reaping. Someone has to cook the food. Someone has to harness the resources of this world, like the gas, the electric, or the water. We put to work the things that God has made available, and it is the same when it comes to putting God's word to work in our lives. God has given us the authority. We are the ones to use it, what God has given to us. So if we lack health in our bodies, we claim what is rightfully ours, and that's the healing. We can do our part by eating healthily, drinking healthily, and we take the right exercise for our bodies. God has already provided health, wealth, abundance, joy, peace, wholeness, protection, all his wisdom, and all this has been provided for us through Christ. We have received it spiritually, and now we need to manifest it. The only way we can start manifesting it is by applying the Word of God and the principles therein. God gave us Holy Spirit, but God is not speaking in tongues for us, is he? We have to use what God has supplied, and when we do, we reap the benefits. So God has supplied the seed, so whatever type of seed you need to sow has been supplied, but you need to start sowing it. This is very easy to understand, just like 1 plus 1 equals 2. Every time you put 1 and 1 together, you will always get 2. God supplies the seed you need to sow. So, for prosperity, you need to operate in God's principles. Not only do we give, but everything else we have been given, we are to be good stewards. the farmer does not just sow the seed. He first has to plough the ground, get ready for the get rid of the weeds and the stones and anything that would hinder the seed from growing. Then he sows the seeds he wants, then waters it, fertilizes it, takes care of the field until it's time to harvest it. God wants us to use his wisdom to look at that area of giving in the scriptures. If you want to prosper in your finances, then you need to understand and use God's wisdom. The farmer who wants a harvest, he knows he cannot hold on to the seed. He needs to sow the seeds for his harvest. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We know the Old Testament is for our learning, but the same principle still applies. Solomon was the wisest and the richest man of the day. God gave him great wisdom and riches, and Solomon is writing God's wisdom here in this record so we can learn from it. We can see right away when we give to God, we are honoring him. And with the first fruits and the very best of the harvest, we are to give to God. Before doing anything, we should give to God first. This is God's wisdom and understanding. God wants to be first in your finances so he can continue to bless us. We want our hearts in the right place in our giving. Let's continue to look at God's wisdom in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favour, but he that seeketh mischief, he shall come unto him. Verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Verse 29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Verse 31, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more than the wicked or the sinner. Our Heavenly Father really wants to be first, and seeking him first, honoring him first, and when we begin to do this, we receive his great blessings in our lives. In this next record, we can see how God's great heart towards his people, even when they got it wrong, he shows them their error and he asks them to think about what they're doing and where their priorities lie. Let's look at this wonderful record in Haggai. In chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 2, and we're going to read down to verse 11. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord unto Haggai by the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, while this house lies in waste. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are clothed, you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labour of the hands. So here we see God's people taking care of themselves, building their nice houses, and leaving God's work undone. God rose up Haggai, his prophet, to address the people, to steer them back in the right direction. God wanted his people to consider what they were doing and why they were not prospering. He lovingly corrects them through Haggai and gets their attention back to putting God first. You can read the rest of the record yourself. Now we will look at God correcting his people. Again, let's see the heart of our Heavenly Father for all his kids to prosper and to be in health and to have a good journey through life, and we can all put God first. Let's take a look at Malachi chapter 3, and in verse 6 it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are consumed." Verse 7, "Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall I return?" Verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have I robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet he say, what have you spoken so much against thee? Verse 14, you have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Verse 15, now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. God, by way of his prophet, addresses his people again and again because the people were withholding their giving, and God wanted meat in his house. So the needs of those that served God and the needs of his people were met. He told his people, "You have robbed me, even the whole nation." It was a big deal to God, and it still is today in the area of giving and receiving. After pointing out their error, God lovingly instructed them back to the right way so he could bless them abundantly, and the needs of all his people were met. These people even complain, saying it's empty to serve God and that there's no benefit in serving God. But do you know what? If they were in trouble, they'd be quick to call on God. If they had followed what God had wanted them to do, then they would not have said these things, and they would have been receiving his benefits and his blessings. You know, what is addressed today in the area of giving and receiving? And I'm going to finish off here, and we're going to read it in Corinthians. And this is addressed to us, 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 9, and in verse 6 it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purpose him in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, with sorrow, or of necessity, or out of a need, for God loveth a cheerful giver." That cheerful is willing. Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Verse 13, while by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. God, by way of Paul, uses the example of sowing and reaping. He shows if we're giving sparingly, then we're reaping sparingly. It is very simple. If we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. This word bountifully means blessing. God wants us to give with understanding and happy heart. He does not want us to give out of a need, that is for sure. We need to remember God has supplied every seed for us to sow and has met our basic need abundantly to live. So our basic needs are met by God, and then he has given us seed that we need to sow, which will be multiplied back to us when we believe it. The word multiply means increase our seed we have sown. Again, very plainly for us to see God's wisdom, and when we are trusting God, it is very easy to apply. Our giving causes much thanking and giving to God. It supplies the needs of those that minister the word of God and the needs within the body of Christ. You know, guys, what seeds are you sowing? And we have to remember that it's not all about finances. You know, as we sow, we reap. I go to work. God's blessed me with that job. So I do that job heartily unto him. Whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, whether it's thundering and lightning. You know, we go out there, we speak God's word. We trust God in every step we take, in every word we speak. Knowing that as we sow those seeds, they're going to bring a harvest back to us. And also down to our finances, that when we give with a cheerful heart, knowing that we're giving to God. And that God is the one that's going to bless us back. So we have to believe that when we do these things, that God is our supplier. And that he is going to reward those that diligently seek him. So bless your heart.
Okay, thanks, Kim. Bless your heart. That was wonderful stuff. Okay, would someone, Jason, would you like to close out with a word of prayer? And then if anyone's got anything they want to share, then we continue where we left off, okay? So, Jason, would you close out with a word of prayer on that teaching there, please?
Yeah, thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for the teaching tonight and the needs being met of your people. Thank you that everything in life comes back to sowing and reaping. And I just thank you for continuing to work in us and teach us and show us the things, you know, how we can do better in each area of our lives, Father, and how we can be good examples to everyone else also that we have contact with. And I thank you for this. Thank you for a prosperous week ahead. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.